Welcome to the Foundry Church. You're about to hear a message from one of the team. We really pray this message makes a difference in your life. If you want to find out more about Jesus, church, or who we are, then visit our website www.thefoundry.org.uk after you've watched the message. Here we go!
Hi everybody, today I want to talk about how Jesus is joy. I don't know about you, but when I think of the word joy, I really think about happiness. I'm thinking about the good times in life. And I'm thinking maybe, for example, about the morning of your holiday. You wake up and you finish work for a bit, you get in the car, or if you're fortunate enough to be flying off somewhere, you arrive at the airport, and life in those moments, it feels really great. There's that joy feeling in your belly. Your joy cup is overflowing. All those other moments, we feel really happy on Christmas Eve, around 6-7 o'clock at night. You're ready for the big day. You're excited. You've got that warm, fuzzy feeling that you can't manufacture. Because of the day, the circumstances, there's that joy inside of you. Your joy cup is overflowing. And there's other times and seasons in our life that bring us joy, like when our children are born, or like when we get married to Mr. or Mrs. Wright, and you're just loving each other and you've got the perfect relationship and you've not yet learned to annoy each other. Or when Spurs beat Arsenal last weekend to go to the top of the Premier League again, it brought me some joy. These are the moments I think of when I think of joy. But the problem with these moments of joy is that they are really dependent upon circumstances or situations bringing us that joy, or to give us that joyful feeling. And we all know that in life, things happen to us or around us, things that we can't plan for, things that cause pain, that cause anxiety, that cause disappointment, and ultimately mean that we're not feeling the joy, we're not feeling the happiness. So in one sense, it feels like joy is temporary, and joy depends really on how life is going or how life maybe isn't going and what's happening externally to me rather than what's happening internally with me. Or in other way, my joy is dependent upon things I can control. But problem is, we can't really control a lot. We can try, but we can't. Life has a way of challenging our notion of control. And today, I believe that Christian joy, the joy I want to talk about, it's different to a temporary joy, temporary feelings brought about by our situation or our circumstance. It's different to the joy that we get through what we can control, because it's a joy that's present on the inside, regardless of how life is going on the outside. Here's a working definition of joy that I've come up with, and it's this: a lasting good feeling on the inside, irrespective of what's happening on the outside. A lasting good feeling on the inside, irrespective of what's happening on the outside. And some of us might see this definition today and we're asking the question, is it really possible to have a lasting and permanent good and hopeful feeling on the inside, regardless of what's going on the outside of our lives? Well, if I'm really honest, I think the answer is yes, but please hear me today. It's not going to be easy to get to that place. It's going to take some work. It's going to take something called faith. It's going to take something called courage. But because of Jesus, and because of the life of Jesus, the baby who was born in a manger and grew to become the God-man, Savior of the world, the same Jesus who modeled this for us, I believe it's possible for us to have this inner joy, to have this lasting good feeling on the inside, regardless of what's going on the outside in our lives. Look at these words of Jesus with me in John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This Advent, through these words and the teachings of Jesus, I want us to see that joy can overflow out of our hearts. Here's three big takeaways from this verse in John. Firstly, real lasting joy is found in the Jesus way. Jesus said, I have told you these things. But what things is Jesus talking about? And what's he talking about? Well, when the context of this chapter 14 is that Jesus is saying he's the vine and the disciples are the branches. In other words, he's the source of life. And if we're connected to him, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to live our best life. So the first thing to take away is that real lasting joy is found only in the Jesus way and where we're connected as branches to that vine. Secondly, Jesus' joy, get this, is our joy. Jesus said, so that you will be filled with my joy. And I don't want us to miss that today. Jesus is saying that we can have his joy. And this isn't a joy like Jesus. This isn't a joy that resembles the joy that Jesus had. It's a joy that's way better, bigger, stronger, and eternal. It's the actual joy of Jesus given to us as a gift. Remember, our key verse for this whole Advent series is found in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, this Advent, wants to gift us his joy. And the reason Jesus' joy is such an amazing gift is this. Think about the power of Jesus' joy and what it meant to him. Jesus' joy enabled him to live his whole life and his whole ministry in the shadow of the cross. When Jesus is living and breathing and doing his thing, when he's calling his disciples, he's eating meals, he's falling asleep in boats, he's turning picnics into banquets, he's turning water into wine, he's chilling out with sinners at wells, all of it is done under the shadow of what was coming. If anyone needed some joy to sustain him, Jesus did. Hebrews 12:2 says this, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See those words right there. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, because of the joy that was both in him and ahead of him, Jesus could face the cross. Jesus could go through the cross. Jesus could face the worst that hell could throw at him and still come out victorious and defeat death and rise from the dead. Why could Jesus do it? Because Jesus had joy. A joy that wasn't about to go out when things on the outside got bad, but it was dependent on how things were going on the inside. Let me ask you this question this Advent Sunday. How is it going for you on the inside? What is it that might be stealing your joy this December? What is it that's robbing you of that permanent good feeling on the inside? Remember, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can have the joy of Jesus. That same joy that enabled Jesus to face the cross is available for you and for me today. So when we realize we've got the same joy, we can ask ourselves the question, what is there in my external or internal world that Jesus' joy can't face? The answer is nothing. The answer is nothing. That same joy that enabled Jesus to face Calvary, it can get you and me through poor health. That same joy that enabled Jesus to face death and hell can carry you and me through these days of uncertainty and loss and what sometimes can feel like a difficult time. That same joy that gave Jesus the courage to face his enemies, it can give us the courage to face anyone or anything that threatens to stand in our way. That same joy that sustained Jesus can keep us going through lockdowns, through isolation, maybe through a Christmas without our loved ones close by. Because Jesus is my joy and Jesus is your joy. But please, amongst all this, hear me today. What I'm not saying, hear what I'm not saying as much as what I am saying. I'm not saying that because we've got Jesus' joy, there won't be times when we don't feel like throwing in the towel. I'm not saying because we've got Jesus' joy that we're going to smile in the face of hardship or unemployment as though it's not even happening. Don't think because we've got Jesus' joy, everything is going to be perfect. Sometimes, even for the followers of Jesus, life stinks. Life is hard. And joy seems way off. Days and weeks are hard and life can be tough, but there is hope because there is a weapon, and the weapon is the joy of Jesus. When we're frustrated with more restrictions, we can pick up the weapon called joy. When we're not seeing the life that we thought God had promised us and the life that we thought we'd live, our greatest resource is our joy. This Advent, the joy of Jesus, let it be your joy. Receive his joy. It's a gift to be received. Take hold of the joy, unwrap the joy, and hold the joy of Jesus closed. And so as I just wind up, here's our Advent challenge for this week. And the first thing would be this: learn to wait for joy. I sense some of us, as we're listening to this message, we need to stop trying to force joy. We need to stop trying to have the perfect Christmas or trying to have a great time. Joy and happiness won't land if you keep trying to make it happen. That's just putting pressure on. There's nothing worse, is there, when someone says to you, you need to be joyful. You need to have a smile on your face. It's like saying to somebody, come on, let's have fun. It doesn't work like that. If you try and force it, it won't happen. Advent, remember, it's all about the wait. So let's learn to wait for joy. It doesn't matter if you're not feeling it. It doesn't mean it's not there. You maybe just need to wait. And as you wait, let joy come to you rather than going and trying to grab hold of joy. Number two, as we wait, expect joy. Like I said, we're waiting for joy, but with faith eyes and with faith hearts, let's expect the joy to land this Advent. I'm praying and believing that this Christmas, many of us will know more joy than ever before. But let's expect it. With hearts and minds full of faith, waiting with expectancy. Let's just ask ourselves, what's our posture of waiting? See, we can either wait with our arms folded. And when our arms are folded, there's no space for anything to land. There's another way to wait. We can wait with arms open wide, with hands that are ready to receive all that God has got for us. Third thing to do this week, as we wait and as we expect, let's make room for joy. If Jesus' joy is going to enter my life and it's going to enter your life, we've got to ask ourselves the question, where is there room? Do I even need it? Is there any space in my life for the joy of Jesus? Or am I like Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? You see, Bethlehem had no room for joy. Every room, every hotel was full. But it couldn't keep joy locked out. Joy came anyway. Joy was born that starry night in Bethlehem into a back room, into a stinking manger. You might feel like there's not a lot of room for Jesus' joy to land in your heart this Christmas. Listen, he doesn't need a 5-star hotel where everything is perfect, everything is clean, everything is organized, it's ready for the rich and famous. No, he needs a back room. He needs some space. He needs some availability. It might not look like much to the world and to everybody else, but if it's real, if your heart is open, if you'll make some room for Jesus' joy, it will enter in. In the words of the carol, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Lord enters in. So this Advent, my prayer for us is that we might make room for the joy of Jesus. Thank you for listening to this message today. Next week is our carol service, where I'll be concluding this Advent series by looking at how Jesus is our peace. Take care and God bless.